Blog Talk Radio.
Exploration. Love. Healing. Magic. You've entered a very special place where anything can happen. Stay inside your ride, but be prepared to expand your consciousness. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our special Saturday brunch Psychic Funhouse show. This morning we have a special guest. Her name is Rose, and we are going to talk about a surprise mediumship reading. It's just going to be me, Michael Espinoza, your host today, and we'll be talking with Rose about her experience she had with a mediumship reading with me. And so we're on every Friday evening, 6 p.m. So we'll be back with Lawrence next week. So tune in to our show next week. And without further ado, I want to present to you Rose, who is a friend. Boy, I've known you for a long time. I think we reconnected after 30 years, correct?
Yes, that's true. After 30 years, long time.
Right? Yeah, mm-hmm. I think we found each, or who found who? I think through Facebook, right?
I found you on Facebook. I had been looking for you, and sure enough, I was very fortunate that I found you, and I reached out to you quick because we had some very good times when we were together.
Yeah. Yeah. We met each other working together at a medical office, correct? And
yes.
Oh, my God, that was like back in the 80s.
In the 80s.
Yeah.
when
like probably
was
early
in
80s.
And used to party.
Yeah.
Early 80s.
And back in
when we used to.
Early 80s, right?
Right.
Yeah, probably like 83, 84, around there. Maybe, or 82.
Yes.
Anyway,
yeah,
wow.
It was early 80s, and we became good friends, and used to go out to lunch, and you introduced me to a lot of fascinating places to go eat.
Oh, well, that's nice, and I still love to eat, and you can tell. It shows.
Me too. Me too.
Right? Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
So we recently reconnected after, 30 years, maybe?
Yes. Yeah, around there.
We haven't seen each other since, about 86, maybe?
Probably.
And then,
And
then, let's see, then we went and had lunch. And so, before we kind of jump into what happened, let's just jump into it. So anyway, we met for lunch. How long ago was that? Maybe 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago?
Uh-huh, yeah.
And we are sitting there. And again, I haven't seen you for 30 years or so.
Right.
And so we're sitting there eating, and while I'm sitting there talking to you, I can feel an energy around me. And it was a really strong energy. And the lady appeared to me, and it turned out to be your grandmother. And so I had to kind of stop and our conversation and give you this reading because your grandmother was very adamant that I give you information. So prior to this, have you had a mediumship reading with a psychic or medium before?
No, no, never, never. I never expected a reading. I just really was happy to see you and have lunch.
Right. So you've never connected with a psychic?
No, never.
No, or a medium?
Never.
And then, so what did you think? Because it was kind of dramatic, I think, the way I started it, because she was just so, your grandmother was a little dramatic. So, so I just, you know, I think I was like, what, I have to give you this message or something like that. And, right? So then what did your, so then as I was giving you information from your grandmother, what were you thinking about it?
At first I just thought, oh, okay, you know, no, let's, I was very surprised and I thought, okay, who is coming through? Who does he feel or what energy is around? And I just thought, okay, well, let me just take it in and see what happens. And I just went with it. I was open to it to see what you had to say. So I was very, very surprised.
Yeah. Well, she was giving a lot of information. She was a, your grandmother, number one, was is a really strong energy. She has a very strong presence. And she's really chatty. She likes talking.
Yes. Yeah, she's a, she was a very strong, opinionated, no-filter woman. She was in control of the household. At her old age, it was whatever she said or did, or that was it. So, yeah, when you told me it was her, unbelievable.
Wow. So how long had it been since her crossing over?
Oh, my gosh. Maybe 30 years, maybe.
Wow.
Maybe longer, but it's been a long, long time. Yeah, it had to be maybe close to 30 years that she's been gone.
Wow. So, that's interesting. So,
yeah, around 30 years, but I hadn't seen her because she lived in Mexico, so I hadn't seen her for maybe 35 years, maybe I don't know. Yeah, around there.
So were you able to go to the funeral for her?
No, no, because, you know, in Mexico they do everything right away, and I just, it was sudden when she passed away, so I just, I didn't. Everybody went. I decided not to. Plus, as a matter of fact, I was working with you around that time. So, yeah, it had to be around 30 years. So I didn't want to leave work. And I didn't go. I wanted to remember her the way, you know, the way I saw her the last time.
Oh, wow. And then she shows up all of a sudden out of the blue.
Yes, at the restaurant. Yes, I was enjoying my food, and it was like you said, okay, I need to interrupt you. I need to tell you this. This energy is there. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And she... like I said, she is really chatty. And she... Yeah. And she's very opinionated and a very strong personality.
Very. Yep.
Yeah.
You can do no wrong. Yes. That was her. That's why when you started reading and telling me, you described her to the T. Well, first I needed to know which grandmother it was that you were talking about. And then when you told me what side, you know, the side, you know, she was on my father's mm-hmm. side, it was like, oh, my God, yes, that's her. Yes.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it was to me. It's interesting because, you know, the people's personalities come through always. And, mm-hmm. you know, so it's like having a conversation with somebody just like we're having now. And uh-huh. One of the things that was evident with her is her insistence to give you information about history, about your family. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really interesting, and to kind of illuminate for you, you know, I think she was trying to show you why things were with your family.
Right.
Yeah. And so I thought that was really, and also too, I think it's a very loving thing for her to do, to say, you know, this is why things are the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And so I thought it was very loving for her to do that.
It was. And as the reading went on, it gave me some, a lot of information and peace of mind. And mm-hmm. also I felt as though, okay, I didn't do anything wrong. I did everything the way I was supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't my fault for being
mm-hmm.
what the example for my family, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, I realized that, okay, I did everything I had to do. So I did nothing wrong. It's just the way my dad was brought up. So he just continued
mm-hmm.
that cycle, which I
mm-hmm.
said I would never, I would break that cycle. I was not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it gave me a lot of comfort.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. And I think that's one of the most incredible things about doing this work, you know, and having conversations with those on the other side, that they can give us clarity, they can give us insight, and the ego's not involved anymore, and
mm-hmm.
they're not, they're not getting in the way of the message and really communicating what needs to be communicated, right? And they accept all their faults and their weaknesses, and they own up to it. And I think it's really important that they do that. And I love that they do that. Yeah.
Mhm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So
mm-hmm.
I'm glad that she came through for you. I really am. It was so nice.
She did, and what you were telling me was spot on, because you know nothing about my background, my childhood,
mm-hmm.
my upbringing. I don't discuss it. So
mm-hmm.
you knew nothing. So everything you were saying was, oh, my gosh, how does he know this? I've never talked about it. And it was, wow, it was amazing. And when you said your grandmother's right next to you, and, of course, I turned around to see if she was there, you know, and because I thought, oh, where is she? But
uh-huh.
as the reading continued, wow.
Mm-hmm.
It was just
yeah.
amazing. And to know that she's been with me and in my home, that really, really, I don't know how to describe it, but I have felt something or someone in my home, and so have my dogs, where they would bark towards the kitchen. And I always thought, okay, there's somebody there. There's a spirit there. There's something. But I'm not afraid. And when you gave me the reading and said your grandmother is there in your home, in your kitchen, I thought, oh, my God, that's where my dogs will suddenly turn. We're in the family room, and they'll suddenly turn and stare at the kitchen and will bark, but not a mean bark, just a bark like somebody's there. And all of that made sense. It all made sense. Now, you would have never known that, and you brought that up.
Well, I've never been to your home. Until that afternoon when I came to your home and we went to the restaurant together. And so that was interesting, listening to your grandmother talk about, well, and listening and showing me that she stands in your kitchen and that the dogs bark at her. I thought that was really interesting.
Wasn't it? Oh, my God. Yeah, that's her. So every morning now, you know, I look at my kitchen and I say good morning to her because I know she, in my reading, she meant well, and what she said, again, was out of love. And I felt at peace.
Right. Well, too, it seemed like she was really trying to inspire you to push you to do more with your life, it seemed like, you know, which came out of a place of love. She wanted you to really grow.
Because, again, nobody knew this, only my husband, when I told him, if somebody were to offer me a job, something simple, I don't care. I said I would take it because I was planning on just retiring. And then you started laughing as you're giving me the reading, and you said, your grandmother said, what are you doing? You have so much to offer. Get out there. You're too young. That you never knew that I wanted to just retire. And the conversation that I had with my husband. And then when you said your home is warm and beautiful, that my grandmother was saying this, your home is beautiful and warm, but it can also be your jail or your jail cell from being stuck at home and not going out. And that's true. I'm enjoying my home, but at the same time, it's like I don't want to leave my home now. I am comfortable here. I don't want to go out. So, when she said, get off your, you know, booty.
Oh, yeah. What was the phrase she kept saying?
She said, get off your ass and get out there.
That's right. She kept saying that a lot, too, didn't she?
She
liked saying it. Yeah.
I think so, too. I think so, too. She said, you're too young, get out there and, you know, not to disconnect from my friends. And I have a lot of friends. But, you know, with the pandemic, I haven't seen anybody, you know. So I thought, okay, she's telling me to get back out there. And, of course, you know, the opening now in June and stuff. I have to make it a point to get back out there and get back into my hobbies and get back into everything that I was enjoying.
Good. So are you going to take her advice?
Oh, yes.
Get
I am.
Get off your ass?
I have to. Yeah, I have to. My ass. I don't know how you would say it in Spanish, but when you said your grandma, because you started laughing, and I'm like, what's so funny? And you said, your grandmother, oh, my gosh, she's feisty. And I said, what did she say? And you said, she said to get off your ass and get out there. And I said, yeah, that would be her. That's my grandmother.
So did she speak any English?
Did she speak English? No.
Okay.
They were in Mexico, so I'm wondering how she must have said it in Spanish, but I can only imagine. Yeah. But
Yeah. Well, one of the things that's interesting with spirit is, because I remember a long time ago with a friend, a really good friend too, her grandmother came through, and she was super close to her grandmother. Her grandmother took care of her when they were young. And her grandmother only spoke Chinese. She didn't speak English. Uh-huh. And so her grandmother came through and started talking. And it's interestingly enough, her grandmother was very strong as well. And mm-hmm. so she was talking to me, and my friend looked at me, and she's like, how are you understanding her? She only spoke Chinese. I was like, well, she's not in her body anymore. You know, she's just spirit now, and she's communicating with me. I don't know how she knows that, but she knows English. She can communicate. So, like, my friend couldn't get past that. She's just like, oh, I don't get it. She didn't speak English. And I was like, well, now she does.
Yes, that's why I was wondering, what does my grandmother sound like? Because she only spoke Spanish. How is she communicating with you? And, that was very interesting. But
yeah,
as you mentioned, you know, I don't remember how you said it, but something about they have 20/20 insight because they're not in the world or something like that, you said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, what did you say? Do you recall what it was?
No. No. Usually when I'm done with the reading, that's it. It's over, and I've kind of left the information there. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It just kind of moves through me so quickly, you know, and that I don't retain any of it. There are very few that I do that are really, to me, like mind-blowing readings, and then they're, you know, super relevant and something I've never seen or heard of or, you know, in that process of communication. Then I'll retain some of that. I'll remember it. But usually, you know, for the majority, I don't remember them because it's just, like I said, it's information just flows through me. Yeah.
Oh.
But like I remember her, you know, immediately the presence, the strong presence. And I remember her saying constantly, get off your ass. That was really funny.
Yeah. And then when she told you that she loved to cook and she was good at tamales. And I thought, oh my gosh, yes.
That's right.
You know, I enjoyed going to Mexico during Christmas. I hated the fact that we had to make tamales. And not just for whoever was there at the house or for Christmas, but for the whole neighborhood. And we were constantly making tamales, and then she would box them and give them to the neighbors. And I hated that. I hated that part because I did not want to work. I wanted to go out and have a good time with my cousin. But it's true. She
and
did.
Your grandmother had other plans.
Yeah, she did. And she said, you know, she fed everybody. And it's true. She, every time we'd go, you know, on vacation, there was always somebody there. And she was always feeding people, and they'd come in for, you know, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and always different people that they were helping out. Yeah, I don't know. I'm wondering now if that's where I got that from, because I find myself doing that. I could, if somebody needs me and I'm busy or whatever, I drop what I have to do and I go and I help without thinking about it.
Maybe.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
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 But
a giant possibility. Yeah.
I just thought about that. Wow.
Yeah.
And you know, when she came through and apologized for my upbringing, that that was so peaceful to me. because
yeah,
I had wanted to always ask why. Why was I treated the way I was? Why
mm-hmm.
was I told you're going to be the example for your family, for your sisters? Why? And when
mm-hmm.
she came through and said,
"Are you
that
the oldest?"
She, yes.
Are you
the
okay,
oldest of
so
the,
oldest.
The girls?
Yes.
But when she came through and said, "I'm apologizing for the way your dad treated you, the way he's been with you," and when she said, "I brought my kids up like that, and I was hoping
uh-huh.
or praying that my children wouldn't bring, you know, wouldn't do that to their kids, and
mm-hmm.
your dad did, and I apologize." Wow.
Yeah.
That was a big. That
powerful,
was a big.
It
was like this. It was like this big rock was lifted off of me because somebody apologized.
Mm-hmm.
That meant
right.
a lot. Somebody actually
yeah.
apologized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
and that
people don't know
this
that.
This is the amazing. Huh? Go ahead.
People don't know that this, you know, affects you as you
yeah.
get older, and you try and at least I try and brush it off and forgive and all that, but it still creeps up on you, and it's like that anger comes back and the
mm-hmm.
questioning why, and then. You know, it's like, okay, I got to get over it and just keep on moving. And
mm-hmm.
that's what I try and do with my life.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. You know, and this is the amazing thing about spirit is, you know, when they cross over to the other side, you know, they could be, while they were here, they could have been a person that does not apologize. Admits
mm-hmm.
no fault, no wrong. But when they get over
mm-hmm.
there, they do. You know, they see what they've done and they see their actions and how their actions have affected people. And so I think it's amazing that they're able, because they don't have the body anymore, to
uh-huh.
really say I'm sorry. And I think it's such
right.
a beautiful, loving thing. Yeah, it's
mm-hmm.
really amazing. And I'm
yeah,
glad she
that,
did that for you.
Yes, just that simple, just to say I'm sorry means a lot, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, in our upbringing, we never said I'm sorry. So to this day, it's hard for me to say it. I mean, I really have to think about it and, it's, you know, it's hard for me to blurt it out, but it does make a difference. And again, I'm trying,
right.
I've tried to break that cycle and not follow or do what our grandparents and our parents did, you know,
mm-hmm.
And say I'm sorry more often.
Right.
It's a work in progress. It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm getting there.
Absolutely.
Slowly
good.
But surely. It's never too late, right? At my age, it's
never
too late.
Never.
Yeah.
Never, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So before you had this reading, I think you did believe kind of in the afterlife, right?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay, right. Because
mm-hmm.
one of the things that's interesting between us is we both, when we worked at the location together, we worked at a medical office together, and we were in an old building, and
mm-hmm.
That was across the street from a hospital. And later on, we found out that the building used to be a morgue. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah. Nobody told
right.
us until we were there. A couple of years. Nobody told us it used to be the morgue.
Yeah. And there were spirits in that building.
Yes.
You remember those? Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And
we always used to say, we're not going to stay here. We're going to leave before it gets dark.
Exactly.
That was an old building. It was an old building.
Yeah.
So remember some of the experiences?
Creepy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell the listeners some of your experiences.
I remember having to go to the bathroom, and somebody called my name. And mm-hmm. I ran out of there screaming because somebody called me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you came out and you said, like, what's wrong? I said, somebody called my name. And
right.
I'm sure everybody had some, you know, an experience, but we wouldn't talk about it because I thought, okay, it's just me. But you can feel the energy there. You can really
mm-hmm.
feel it. It was like somebody was, for me, I felt like somebody was standing behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Or when I would go to the bathroom, you know, it wasn't a big bathroom. It was just a single bathroom. And I was always
mm-hmm.
scared. Am I going to get locked in here? Am I going to be able to get out? yeah. I don't know what happened, what experiences you had, but it was creepy. That building is creepy, and that building is still there.
Yeah. No, they knocked it down.
Oh, they did? Oh,
yeah.
I thought I saw
knocked
it.
It down.
No, oh, okay.
They knocked it down. They built a new building there.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, some of the experiences I had there, I always, my office, there was a long hallway, a corridor, and then we had offices
mm-hmm.
off the corridor. And
right.
I always, my desk was right at the front door, but I didn't
mm-hmm.
face the corridor. I didn't face the door. My side was facing the door. And
right.
I always used to see somebody walking back and forth through the hallway. And so I used to see that constantly. And our office manager, who was in the office right next door to me,
uh-huh.
I would constantly hear my name being called, and I always thought it was her or somebody else. And I always, again, I'm like, ask them, did you call me? What do you want? Did you need something? And they're like, no, I didn't call you. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so this is kind of leading up to, this is before we were aware, or at least I was aware, that we had ghosts. And
right.
Also, too, when we came in the morning, all my electronic equipment used to be on in my room. And I always
uh-huh.
thought it was the cleaning staff that they would turn stuff on. And I was always thinking, like, why do they turn everything on? I mean, they don't need to turn on my calculator and the screen for my computer, and they turn on the computer and my air conditioning unit that was in the window. I was like, why do they turn all this stuff on? I was like,
right.
I don't get it.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah. So it,
yeah.
I apologize now, and I send that out to the cleaning people. The apologies. It wasn't you. It was the spirits that were in there. Because
yes.
that was a really big unit, the air conditioner. And
uh-huh.
I think the unit would be on all night because I'd come in and that room would just be like a meat locker. It was so cold. So, yeah.
It was. And I don't know if you ever heard footsteps, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Upstairs, you would hear the footsteps. And I don't recall
mm-hmm.
ever going upstairs because there were some offices, you know.
Yes.
Upstairs,
mm-hmm.
but I never went up there. I always tried to not be alone in that building.
Yeah.
Because I knew that there was something, even though we really, none of us ever discussed it. But
mm-hmm.
I just thought, no, I can't. Man, when 5 o'clock came, I was out of there.
Right.
I tried not to go to that bathroom as much as I could because I don't know if you remember, you know, my office, you know, you had to go out of my office and go to the left down the long hallway
mm-hmm.
and to another
mm-hmm.
room, and that's where the bathroom was at. So that
right.
room was empty. There was nobody in there.
Right.
I don't recall what
filed.
Was in that room. Just files.
It was filed. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
And it was
they had
it was
the
quiet.
Charts there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't like when you go into these medical offices now where you hear music, and it was nothing like
mm-hmm.
that. It was just
no.
a big, cold
yeah.
file room with one bathroom that we all
yeah.
had to share.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, get me out of
yeah.
here.
Yeah, I remember you coming out of there screaming. And there was one time when I was with a coworker, and I was talking with her about something, and all of a sudden somebody called out my name, and it was a woman's voice, and the voice did not have a direction where it came from. It felt like it came from everywhere, and it echoed, and it just, like, I got goosebumps, and
mm-hmm.
my eyes got really big. And I looked at the coworker, and I was like, did you just hear that? And she's like, yeah, because I thought, okay, I'm losing my mind, so I'm going to ask
mm-hmm.
her if she heard this. And I ran out of there screaming. literally ran out her office, and because her office was near the front door. And I ran
uh-huh.
out the front door of the building, and I was terrified, just terrified. And there was another office, the ladies upstairs, and I went to them
uh-huh.
one day, and I was talking with them, and I asked them, do you notice, like, weird stuff happening in this building? And that's when I found out it was a morgue. They're like, oh, yeah, it used to be a morgue. There's a lot of ghosts in here.
Oh.
And they're like, you know, and then they communicated, too, like, they've experienced a lot of paranormal activity, and they try not to be in there after dark because it does not
mm-hmm.
feel good. It's like all the spirits came out at night. They were like, they
yes.
woke up from whatever they were doing.
Yeah.
yeah. So,
yeah, because I remember our managers.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, Michael.
No, you go ahead.
I remember our managers. I was right across from our manager,
mm-hmm.
but she always had visitors in her office, so, you know, I
yeah.
never really paid attention to it, but, and you were past my office,
mm-hmm.
you know, your office was, but, yeah, I could hear you, and, oh, I could hear you, you know, come with your eyes, you had big eyes, like, did you hear that? And I'm like, oh, my God, here we go again.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
we could laugh about it now, but at that time, it was scary. It really
yeah,
was.
It
was
scary.
A big building.
Yeah.
yeah. It was a big
yeah.
building.
It was. And also, too, the underneath the building, they had a basement. And to get to the basement, you had to go outside and walk around to the side of the building and go down these stairs. And... It was similar, the layout, to our floor, where it was just one long hallway that ran the
uh-huh.
length of the building or the width of the building, and then it had rooms on off to the sides. And
uh-huh.
It was used for storage for all the
right.
offices in the building. There weren't many offices in that building either. And I remember
right.
Nobody ever wanted to go down to the basement to get files. So it was always, let's send Michael to go get the files.
Yes.
He's the man in the group.
That's true.
I hated it. Oh, my God. It was so scary down there. And it was almost kind of like, it felt like it was designed on purpose, where they put the light switch. There was only one light bulb in this whole hallway, and it was at the middle of the hallway, in the middle of the building, and the freaking light switch was in the middle, right underneath the the light fixture.
Right.
And so you had to walk in the dark all the way down the hallway to turn the light on. And, oh, my God, it used to just send chills up my spine each time walking through that building. And I would prop the door open so at least you get some light walking in there. And just it felt so dense and creepy, and you felt like being watched all the time. And it just felt like there were a lot of people down there. That's what I remember.
Uh-huh. It was cold.
So
it was cold and dingy.
It was
and
freezing.
I don't know.
There.
I don't. Why you always went by yourself, I don't know. At that time, it doesn't faze you until you're there. But it's like, why didn't you go as a team, you know, downstairs?
Because nobody wanted to go. They're always just, send Michael. Michael, go get me this file. And you're like, no, I don't want to go down there. Don't send me to the dungeon, please. All the ghosts are down there. Yeah. So, you know, what was interesting, too, at that time, I didn't know I was a medium. I didn't know I was a psychic. You know, I think you and I were really the only ones that felt the spirits there. And then the other ladies in that other office. But I don't remember anybody else's reaction. Do you?
No. I don't remember anybody talking about it. Honestly, or saying, or scared, or coming out and saying, hear this or that. It was just mainly you and I. Was it because we were at the end of the building, at the end of the hallway?
Yeah.
I don't know, but no one else really. And upstairs, like you said, they also must have heard stuff, but nobody really did.
Knew.
Maybe because we were the young ones there.
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah. So that was, I guess, you know, our first, or, well, you said also at your grandmother's house that you felt stuff there, too. Right. You said there was stuff there. What was going on at your grandmother's house?
Well, my grandmother's house in Mexico, it's an old historical house. And so you really, you know, I mean, very, very. Said that, you know, at nighttime, it always happens after midnight that, you know, the spirits come out. And in Mexico, they had a patio, an open patio. And at midnight, it was as if somebody was in the patio, outside in the patio, and the dogs would be barking like crazy. I don't know why nobody would wake up with these dogs barking. Because, you know, Mexico, the dogs are up on top of the roof because the roofs are flat. And I would open my eyes and think, what's going on? And I could hear these buckets, like the old-fashioned metal big buckets, just being thrown on the ground and being dragged, like these big chains just dragged and dragged. And I would try and wake up my husband, and I could not wake him up. Because I wanted him to hear what I was hearing. And he would not wake up. And it just went on and on and on until I would just pray. I would pray for this to go away. And eventually it would. But then the next day, I would suddenly wake up again after midnight, around 2 in the morning. And I could hear these voices in the hallway just talking and talking, but it didn't make sense. I couldn't understand what they were saying. So then in the morning, I would ask my aunts that live there, you know, this is what I heard, and they would always say, oh, no, you must have been dreaming. Oh, no, nothing goes on. But I know, now I know, as I got older, that they also heard it. And they would just say, we didn't want to scare you. So
really?
Yeah, I would always hear it, and it happened also to my dad. It didn't happen to everybody. It happened to my dad, and it happened to my brother. And, and of course, my aunts and my grandmother that lived there. Because they said that in those days, in the olden days, people would bury their money on the ground or in the walls because really there was nowhere to, you know, there were no banks. And so they say that because all this money is buried there, that these spirits still come out. I don't know how much of that is true, but nobody has ever tried to look for that money or dig up the money because they say it's bad luck. So nobody does anything with it. But when I did go with my husband and I did tell him there's spirits that come out here at night, and he looked at me and he says, "Oh, you're crazy. That's not true. That doesn't happen." And again, I said, "Okay, maybe I'm crazy." And we went to Mexico. We were at my grandmother's house, and it was just my two aunts and my husband and I. And it was maybe about 6 o'clock at night. It was starting to get dark. And we were in the kitchen. It was just, you know, us four. And all of a sudden, my husband looks at me, and he's white as a ghost. His eyes are huge, and he's telling me, "Somebody whispered in my ear my name." And we all looked at him. We all looked at him and we said, "Oh, no." He goes, "No, somebody just whispered my name. Somebody blew in my ear and said my name." So I knew what it was. And then I said, "It's spirit. It's somebody here." And then he's like looking at me like, "Let's get out of here. I don't want to visit anymore. Let's just go." And again, you know, we kept on talking and forgot about it. And then I said, "Can you go get my sweater that's in the living room?" Well, to get to the living room, you have to leave the kitchen, past this open patio, a long hallway into the living room. And again, they called his name. They turned on and off the lights. And he came so fast.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was like, "Somebody's there." But, you know, he's just like, "I never want to stay. I never want to go to your grave. I never want to go there. You are so right. It does happen." And, you know, we've gone back. But when you're there, make sure, you know, it's getting dark. Let's leave. Because he's like, "Let's go. I don't want to be here."
Well, I think you should just dig up the money and leave it out for them to take.
No. I want to live.
So they stopped looking for the money. That is so funny.
Yeah, it is. It is. But when it's happening, I'm not scared. I'm scared after the fact.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of stuff has happened to me in that home, and I'm not scared. Mm-hmm. But when I talk about it, then it's like, "Oh, my God, it did happen." So, I do believe in spirits.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you've had a lot of run-ins with the paranormal and spirits. Did that continue throughout your life? Did you have a lot of interactions with them?
Only when I went to Mexico, which was in the summer or Christmas. But then here at home or wherever I lived, I just thought, okay, I felt like a nudge. And I just thought, okay, you know, it's my dogs, they're nudging me. And I would call out my dogs, you know, to stop. But when I would turn around, there's nothing there. So I honestly thought, oh, okay, my dogs have passed, the ones that I had, and they're just here visiting me. That's how I have to look at it. Or that's how I do look at it, because I'm not scared. You know, I'm not scared at all. I don't feel bad energy. So then when you told me I have to talk to you with your permission, I was like, okay, go ahead. It was very, very interesting. Very interesting. Who would have thought? I'm here having lunch with my friend that I haven't seen in over 30 years. And you tell me, okay, there's a spirit and I have to talk to you. I have to tell you because she will not leave me alone. And I said, okay.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah, little did I know it would be my grandmother. But she said so many things. And when I confirmed it with you and you knew nothing about it. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All I can say is, wow.
Yeah. Did you, were you able to confirm any of the information with your family or others?
I was with my, with my sister,
mm-hmm.
not my parents, because I know that they'll look at me like I'm crazy. I have to find a way to approach my dad and see how my grandmother, how they were raised or how they were treated. Because I know my grandmother was, I don't want to say mean, but she was mean. She was mean.
She was strict.
Yes. She was strict. And I never, my dad at that time, very strong, very, you know, controlling. But when we would visit my grandmother, I never saw my dad, like when she would speak to him. And he would just like put his head down and just say, yes, oh, yes, mom, okay, mom. And that was a sign I never saw of my dad. You know, kind of weak or scared. I don't know what the right word is, but she still controlled my dad at that age. She still controlled him. And my dad was in his, what, 60s? Yeah. But that was...
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, well, is there anything else you'd like to say about that reading? About the reading?
Just that I just thank you for the reading. It gave me a lot of peace. I had to come home and write it in my journal, my experience, and I believe in it, and it gave me lots of comfort, and I thank you. I thank you because I do believe it. I do. I do believe it. And
you're welcome.
My grandmother gave me a lot of peace. Yes.
That's great.
So thank you.
Yeah.
I
you're welcome.
I recommend anybody who wants to have a reading, do it. If you have any doubt, any questions, do it because it gave me a lot of comfort, Michael. And not, I'm not saying it because you're my friend or I expected it. No, it was so unexpected. But thank you.
Yeah. Well, it was a surprise for me too. So, and dealing with your grandmother who's very strict.
Yes, very opinionated with no filter.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I didn't pay you for this, right, to come on the show.
No, not at all.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you, Rose, for coming on. And again, thank you for allowing me to bring your grandmother through and give you messages from her. And I love it. I love this work. I love helping people, and it's fun. And I'm glad she came through. I'm glad she came through for you and helped you clear up some, maybe answer some questions and bring clarity to situations in your life. So thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome.
Yeah. So thank you, everybody, for calling in or listening to our podcast. And we totally appreciate it. We appreciate all of you. Be sure to follow us here at Psychic Funhouse. And we appreciate all of our callers and listeners. And so join us every Friday evening, 6 p.m. Pacific time. For the Psychic Funhouse. And so this is Michael Espinoza signing out. Oh, if you'd like to schedule a reading, you can go to my website, michaeljespinoza.com, to schedule a session with me. clairvoyant reading, a psychic reading, or a mediumship reading, and also you can schedule a healing session with me as well, a pranic healing session. And I thank you all for listening. I appreciate all of you. So we're signing out. Goodbye, Rose. Have a great day. Thank you for calling.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Au revoir.